On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other fine publications. And today, I'm very pleased to have with us Doug Johnston, a longtime executive at Applied Systems. Welcome, Doug.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Yeah, and I wanted to catch up with you because we understand you recently have left Applied, you retired. You're going to go on to other things, which we'll talk about, but because you've got such a interesting history and a long history with insurance and technology and the independent agent channel, I thought it was my duty, Doug, to make sure we cover all the bases and some of the things you've seen and done and what some people may have said about Doug Johnston. So it's a interesting story.
Yeah, well, I do want to kind of clarify one thing. Leaving Applied and retiring Applied, I want to stress that I retired from Applied Systems, and the intention was to retire and not necessarily leave Applied, because after 35 years, I have a love and affection for the place. So so the correct term is I retired.
Yes. Okay. Well, so I guess I don't really know all where to start. There's a lot of things here when you look at a person's career. But maybe you could help us understand some of that early stuff. And I've known you, Doug, since I think it was 1990 or 91, because at the time I was working for the old Ivins as opposed to the new Ivins, which is owned by Applied. And the old Ivins, really even before the middle period when it went for profit, I believe, the old Ivins was really just all around lease lines and saving agents and carriers money on voice calls and data transmission and that sort of thing, and it evolved over the years. But I was talking with you for a case study. Of course, you were at Applied, and I forget what the case study was about. So I've known you for a long time. How did this all get started with your career? Can you give us some insight?
Sure. My dad was an independent agent, and so I had a natural connection to that. One of my earliest memories is take your child to work day, and my dad brought me downtown to his office, and it was a small little office. Probably after about 20 minutes, he was thinking, "Well, what the heck do I do with him now?" And Chubb Insurance had their regional office in the same office building that my dad was in. So he brought me down to Chubb, and I got a tour of their computer room, which you have to remember, this is probably 62, 63. And there's guys sitting there, reading paper tape with the punch holes in it. Mm-hmm. And I was just fascinated. And they were explaining to me how the data that was stored on those computers was replacing the paper files that were throughout the building. And that was kind of fascinating. And then a few years later, we were out on the East Coast, and I think we visited Continental Insurance, and they brought me into their computer room and with all the terminals and the mag tape and all that stuff. And they were explaining how they ran reports and delivered information to the people in the company. And so I think that was really kind of the early knowledge of all of that. And then, later on when I was in junior high, I used to go down to my dad's office and, do claim status requests from carriers. And so I'd work the filing systems and I'd do the inquiries to companies. And I kind of understood the communication between an agent and a carrier. But that the memory of the computers was really kind of strong, and this was a business that was data intensive and very labor intensive, and the computers seemed to offer tremendous efficiency. So those are kind of my earliest memories and connections.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that was that was in the 60s, right? And
right.
After school, like what happened after that?
Well, I didn't initially go into the insurance industry, but eventually my dad came and got me, and I worked for my dad for a while, and then eventually went to a larger agency where we had multiple accounting systems, property, life and health, all the different types of things. And at the time, we put in one of the early agency management systems into that agency. And we looked at all of them, but due to the size of the agency, we were kind of limited to the ones that could handle, 15 or more workstations. And in those days, that kind of cut out quite a few. And we actually ended up with the AMS system, which became Vertafore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I worked there for quite some time, and really, kind of absorbed the system, and since it was a brand new system, helped debug it and, work through the accounting issues and all those things. And I really kind of understood the system, and it was, it was evident that I really belonged on that side of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
You were just drawn to it, right?
I really was. And, I had studied it a little bit in college, but, mm-hmm. If you think back to the 70s, what they were teaching about computer science in colleges it was antiquated. It was absolutely, the microcomputer was about ready to bowl them over, and they had no idea. Mm-hmm. The only thing that was really cool going on in colleges back in those days were, the early internet, the ARPANET or whatever they called it, and the way the colleges got online and communicated with each other. But other than that, it was old school. And, you could tell there was a revolution coming. And
mm-hmm.
and so by the time I was ready to get in, look at the technology world, the personal computer was just coming out. And beyond the PC, the XT, the AT, the ones that had permanent hard drives, which was, innovative in its day. And mm-hmm. so the funny thing is I thought, well, geez, I know the AMS system inside and out. I'll get a job with them. Well, they were in the process of moving from Atlanta to Quincy, Massachusetts. And so there wasn't any hiring going on, and I kind of waited. They still weren't doing any hiring. And so I remembered this little company that I had read their manual, and I was really impressed. These guys seemed to know insurance, and they were the only ones that really talked about marketing. And it was, mm-hmm. Applied Systems. And so, so the only other company that I contacted in those days, and I think there was like 37 different software companies back
then. Yeah, there were a lot back then.
Oh, yeah. So the only other one I contacted was Bob Eustace at Applied Systems. And, like 4 or 5 days later, I was working for him.
No.
it was definitely the Wild West. But
Now, he was a character. Character.
He is the definition of an entrepreneur. He mm-hmm. was fearless and bet the farm every day, and is a great guy. So.
He reminded me of like, again, it's not a perfect fit, but like a Ted Turner or the guy who started the Southwest Airlines. I forget his name. He just passed away. Chain smoking. This kind of crazy personality, but somehow it all worked because, if you look at Applied today, goodness, I mean, it's a major success,
Oh, yeah. And it was the typical software startup of the 80s. Started in his basement in his garage and took over the house and just bootstrapped. And, you had to have thick skin to work there. You had to be a pretty tough person. But, if you could live that kind of life, Bob gave you the reins to do whatever you wanted, and mm-hmm. It was wild. It was wonderful. It was just an incredible experience.
Yeah. Herb Kelleher, was this guy I was trying to think of.
Oh yeah.
So take us back to some of those early days, because I remember hearing stories of of things, you know, things working, coming out of a garage, and you know, people working all hours in a garage to build this technology. Did that, was that Bob and his gang?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you get, you know, the first time I walked in, it was just incredible, the energy you felt walking in the house. And it was so much different than the stodgy offices of the day that you'd walk in. They were quiet, reserved and everything. And you'd walk into this and it was loud, and the people were on the phone and we were shipping computers, and, you know, the programmers were, you know, cranking away, and it was exciting, and it was a great environment to be in. And you know, office hours were very strange. You know, you kind of rolled in whenever you wanted to, but people stayed until 6, 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. And you know, I remember my first day, you know, at about, you know, maybe 2 p.m, a girl came by my desk with a piece of paper and a pen and said, "Can I get you something to drink?" I said, "No, I have a coffee." She said, "No, I meant beer, scotch, wine."
Yeah, right.
Well, thanks. I don't drink, but I love the attitude.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, yeah, so, you know, I kind of got to the point where, you know, you start getting to the office earlier and earlier just to have some quiet time to get some things done. And, and you know, pretty soon you're getting there at 7 in the morning and you realize everyone else is getting there at 7. So, wait a minute, stop. Let's go back to 8.
Yeah, right.
Because you'd be there late at night. And but it wasn't because you had to be there. It was because you wanted to be there. And you're all kind of working together as a team for a common goal, whether it was to, you know, ship a new version or get some update done or, you know, figure out, you know, how to connect to Ivan's, whatever it was. You know, there was always something going on and it was exciting. And so
yeah,
you wanted to be there.
And you said it was, I heard you say earlier, house. It was, was it Bob's house?
It was, yeah. So he was still living there.
Okay.
The kids would get up and go to school and, but eventually, you know, the company took over the bedrooms, and Bob and his wife had been, remodeling an old historic home in the area. And eventually they moved out of, the original house into their new house. And so we continued on. We had a warehouse off to the side of Bob's house where shipping and receiving was, but yeah, we just completely packed that house until, I think it was July of 1986 that we moved into our first office building, and that was a culture
shock. That's incredible. So what did you do, Doug? Because I know what you did in recent decades. Because again, I've known you for 3 decades, but how did it all get started for what you were interested in there?
Well, you know, that was one of the amazing things. Like I said, Bob, you know, pretty much let us do whatever we wanted to do as long as, you know, it moved the company forward. But, you know, the other thing is everybody did everything, you know, so everybody had to, you know, first of all, everyone was in sales. Everyone is in sales. You know, we're selling customers all day long. But, you know, my background was insurance. So I was kind of trying to be that, you know, make certain there was insurance relevance in the product, that the product made sense for the person sitting at the desk doing the work. And so in the early days, I was on a team of a couple people where we were kind of designing what the product did, what the features were. You know, back in those days, things like transactional filing were big. You know, the theory was that, you know, when you look at what an agency did, you know, in the 70s and 80s, most of what they did was shuffle paper. And so, you know, now that we had computers, was there a way to eliminate time spent in the filing cabinet? And transactional filing definitely did that. So, you know, then we started getting into workflows and task management and chaining events together so that the person in the agency had a consistent workflow for everything they did. So and then at the same time, back in, you know, 86, 87, 88, we were incorporating accord forms into the system for the first time. We had the ability to fill out a form and print a form, but to actually create a database that could store information, not in a CORD format, but store information that would pre-populate a CORD forms, you know, how would we get that into the system? How would we add that level of detail to the database? So we actually spent quite a few years working on just that. You know, how will we create the detail, and then how will we work with Ivins to communicate that data in and out? So, you know, those were kind of the early years. And then I don't know if you remember, but, you know, 87, 88 applied, you know, got into the comparative rating business. And we had a fairly large operation out of Minneapolis. And that was, you know, that was a lot of fun. We took a small rating company and blew it up to 50 states. We added commercial lines rating. We were doing a lot of interesting things with premium calculation. And one day we got a call from Allstate. And they said, we've looked at your commercial rater. Have you thought about doing a policy system? And I was like, this is a whole new ballgame.
right.
So we went to Allstate's office, the old Northbrook offices, and met with them and looked at what they were doing. And we said, sure, we could build a policy system. And they said, well, you know, how long would it take? And we kind of looked at all the specs, and we said, well, we could probably do that in 6 months. And you know, they probably looked at us like we were on drugs. You know, like 6 months. You know, this is a 3 or 4 year project. But we took it on, and we delivered a commercial lines policy issuance system with full billing and stat reporting and everything in 6 months. And so from that point forward, really through the 90s, we were Applied had a division that was automating insurance companies with a full policy administration system with, you know, all the regulatory, the premium accounting, the gap accounting, all the things that are required of an insurance company. So I did that for quite a long time.
Okay.
And then you know, something that you'll remember, you know, Jim Kellner, the great CEO of Applied,
he was a
good
I know
friend,
Jim.
Great guy. Jim and I used to spend a lot of time out at Microsoft, and we were out there one time, and they were showing us something at the time they were calling .NET, not the .NET you know today, but they were showing us this architecture called .NET, and at the time it was really more of an internet-based communication between layers of a system. So, you know, you have a UI on a desktop here, and you have the business rules across the internet over here, and you use .NET to connect them together. And that was just kind of, you know, the you know, a revelation. It's like, wait a minute, we could do that with insurance. You know, that desktop is the agent, and that the business rules are the insurance company, and we could use this new, you know, technology over the internet to communicate between the two. And so, you know, my life took an immediate 180 and went down the road of, you know, much more carrier agency connectivity and communication. So building on download, looking at real time, doing the rating, the inquiries, the things like that. And so, you know, and from there, my life just kind of, you know, spun out into the industry, working with carriers and other vendors and Ivins and Accord and everybody, just to kind of set the table for this new way of doing business.
Yeah, and you were out in the industry, not just you yourself, but other folks that Applied were, along with folks at that time, I think it was called AMS, were in the marketplace, and there were a number of other firms too. But it seemed, Doug, that you had this additional layer of passion about what you were doing, and I don't know where that came from. Maybe what you said earlier about being, you know, working in an independent agency, getting a sense of what it's like to be in that seat and doing the work and dealing with the customer and dealing with the carrier. Maybe that's where that passion came from. But it was like a I want to say, because I heard many, many soliloquies of yours at various events, and it was almost like this I want to say another level of passion. Like, why did you care so much about this stuff? Besides, I know you had a job, and your job was working for Applied and representing Applied, of course. But there was something else.
Yeah, it does go back to, you know, my dad being in the business. I think I realized at a young age that my dad was an independent agent, and that put money on the table. So, you know, I was, you know, put food on the table. And so I was very passionate about that. But then, you know, working for my dad and, you know, realizing, you know, what he meant to his customer. When a customer called with a house fire or a car accident, their life was devastated. And he very calmly and put their lives back together, made them feel good again. And then I realized that throughout the entire United States and Canada, you know, the world for that matter, there's an insurance agent in every neighborhood doing the exact same thing. And you know, people kind of make fun of, you know, being an insurance agent, but in reality, they are the lifeblood of the of every neighborhood in the country. And you know, we can't lose that. And to, you know, have that go away, you know, you just can't replace that human touch. And I think we've all seen those, you know, reports about millennials shopping for insurance and new generation shopping for insurance online. But at the end of the day, they still come back and buy from a human being, and they usually buy from a human being in their neighborhood. And I think that's really important. And so I think that's kind of my passion, is to figure out how to improve and build upon that independent agency channel. And I know that sounds corny, but it's so true.
Yeah. It is. And I think too, before we talk just for a second about the latest iteration or latest round of technology change called InsurTech, I know back in the day before there were all of these InsurTechs coming with all this money from the outside trying to change everything, there were quite a bit of competitors in the same room at those meetings, in the same marketplace, trying to influence agents and carriers to buy things that you had the best mousetrap. And Applied was obviously as a success story, as I said, in all of that and all those other brands that were out there. But there were also these venues like Accord and Ivins, the Big Eye and PIA had different venues where, you know, competitive people and competitive companies came together to work towards a common goal. And I think you were, while I clearly not always in favor of some of the things being discussed, I think you were in that mix. You were thinking that this could work for the betterment of the independent agent channel. So how does that work? What is your take on that? Competitive people in the same room many times, probably trying to kill each other in the marketplace, but here they are in the room and you were in that mix. So how does that dynamic, how does it even work?
Well, you know, if you look at, you know, just the United States, for example, in the independent agency channel, if we're going to bring efficiencies and change to the industry that makes it a stronger industry, it's almost impossible for a single solution provider or vendor to do that by themselves. Now, there are innovations that we could bring, and Applied built a lot of great things, but you know, you have to take a look at the industry as a whole and say, if we're going to move this needle, sometimes it's more than just one vendor. And so there are things that we need to do together. So things like Ivins, that made complete sense to Applied Systems from day one. And, you know, it's funny, Ivins has gotten such a bad rap over the last 35 years, but Ivins was one of the original cloud companies, if you think about it. You know, putting mailboxes in the cloud and having all this cloud-based communication. Now, in the early years, we did dial-up, but as soon as the internet came, we changed it all over to internet communication. But, you know, it was like, you know, if Applied tried to champion Ivins as a proprietary service, now, we didn't own Ivins in those days, but if we were the only ones that backed Ivins, it never would have worked. Economically, it would not have made sense for the industry to go down that road, and it wouldn't have delivered the tremendous cost savings that it has delivered. And so in order for it to work, we had to encourage all of our competitors to play in the same sandbox. And so, you know, Applied, you know, helped create a lot of the technology that made that work. But we sat right next to our number one competitors figuring out how to make it work better. And so I think you're just that realization that there are areas where you really need to work together, and then there's areas where you need to try to outdo the other person. So, you know, at Applied, we always said, we don't have to own things like Ivan's and Accord and, you know, keep that as proprietary. We just need to do it better than anyone else. And so anytime we come up with some innovation, we need to turn that over to the industry. We'll get first adopter, first mover. You know, if we try to hold this all proprietary, it's never going to gain traction. So
right.
So there was kind of that perspective. And then I think the other thing is that, you know, in those rooms, there were a lot of really smart people, and they, you know, they worked for, you know, AMS. They worked for other software vendors and insurance companies. And so being able to sit and work with those really smart people was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. And you know what, Doug, as I'm thinking about some of the people that were in those rooms before the insured, you know, again, quote unquote, insured techs, because you could make the case that Applied is an insured tech, just an earlier insured tech.
Yeah.
But, you know, there were some people that had ideas, and if they only could crack into the agency management system and convince them that they should work with this particular application, I'm probably simplifying what some of those things were, but they were sort of, you know, things to make an agent's and a carrier's life easier and maybe more efficient, but they weren't an applied systems invention necessarily. They were people from the outside. And I heard you one time at one of these meetings say, lose my business card to one of these sales guys who was pitching, which I think is a classic line. Like, who says that to somebody, you know? Doug Johnson would say it. Lose my business card. But it was like, no, I'm not.
It's not
going to work.
I remember that day fondly, and I was on a down escalator, and there was probably 100 or more people at the top of the escalator overlooking the escalator, and the guy's shouting at me, Doug, we need to talk. And I looked up and said, lose my business card. So, you know, and I think so the backstory to that is, you know, over the years, Applied has had a lot of great business partners that have helped the industry move forward. And within those relationships, you develop friendships with the employees of the other company. Well, occasionally those employees would leave to go to a competing service and think, well, Doug's my good buddy. He's just going to open the door for me and the new company to come in and kick out the other one. And so that's never going to happen. And so that particular day was kind of a great opportunity to say, you know what, you know, my relationship is primarily with my business partners, and while I like you, that doesn't mean I'm going to hand all of my business to you just because you went to a new company. So there was definitely the good Doug and the bad Doug, but
that's right. A lot of people only got to know the bad Doug, maybe, but which I thought was kind of funny, but I never really tried to do business in that way with you. But let me ask you this question on a serious note. It seems like that Applied was more closed to outside ideas or outside maybe solutions for a longer period of time than some of the other vendors. And I sense that there's been more of a recent shift. I mean, I'm not asking you to give out any secrets here, but like the purchase of Indio might be a good example where maybe Applied would have said 10 years ago, oh, we're just going to build that. And maybe you tried to build it, and maybe you do have it. I don't know. But is it possible that the management system, which is the admittedly the hub of the independent agent, works, like you said, works every day in those seats. But there are some newer insurtech ideas that might work with that management system. Has there been a shift in sort of maybe being open to those outside things? Maybe not competitors, but they kind of are quasi competitors in a way.
There's been a slight shift, but maybe not as dramatic as it would appear.
Okay.
So in the early days, we were quite close to working with solution providers. We were very open to working with the Accords and the Ivans and people like that. We opened the door to third-party rating vendors long before anyone else. And people, you know, probably still today don't know this, but in like 1986 or 87, we opened up integration to AMS's Vertafore's rating products into Applied. Mm-hmm. And most of the major rating vendors are still integrated with Applied today. And so, mm-hmm. you know, Applied really was open, but we had to take a look at it. So, Imaging is a good one. We did integrate with a few imaging systems, but you know, when we thought about it, Applied had a lot of smart people that knew a lot about imaging, and we had already built our own. And mm-hmm. so, you know, at some point you have to say, well, our customers are paying us for technology. And within that technology stack we're offering, we have all these great features. Does it really make sense to tell our customers that after you've spent all this money on our product that you should go buy someone else's product to do this one feature mm-hmm. that's already mm-hmm. in the system? Or should we focus on making that feature better? And so for a long time, that's really what Applied did. We focused on making certain that the features and the functions of our product were the best they could possibly be. And in the rare case where someone had a need outside of what we could do, then we would make certain that we could integrate with that particular application. But now as things start moving faster and faster, we'd start to take a look at things that we're working on and we'd say, hey, there's a company over here that's working on the same thing. And, mm-hmm. And maybe we're not 100% in alignment with the way they're doing it, but they're doing some pretty good things and they have some really smart people. So mm-hmm. if we acquired them, we could add those really smart people that have a lot of great knowledge, and then we could tweak it to enhance what Applied Systems is already doing. And so I think mm-hmm. that's what you're really seeing today is adding that in. So, you know, Applied had, health and benefits. And then so we went out and bought a company that did that to make our benefits package even better. And I think what you're seeing with Indio is maybe you didn't really see a lot of the things Applied had been working on for the future, but Indio aligned with where we were going. And
okay.
So, and with it, you get a lot of great people, a lot of really smart people that when you then align those people with Applied, you create some really magical products. And so I don't think it's necessarily saying, you know, I'm not even part of the company anymore, you're looking at supplementing, augmenting, growing, kickstarting, whatever you want to say.
Okay.
And so, in my mind, that's kind of how I look at it. And I think that's still true.
Okay. Let me, we're running out of time, but I want to ask you three quick questions.
Okay.
And let me know what jumps to mind. Do you have any regrets that you can share? Anything you might have done differently along the way here?
Yeah, that's a great question. The easy answer is no, because you can never regret any failures. You know, you fail early, mm-hmm. fail often. If you're not trying, if you're not failing, you're not trying. So you can't ever regret anything that you tried and failed, and you can't regret anything you didn't do, because you know, every day you have 1,000 things to do and you can maybe do 2 or 3. So, you know,
right.
you have to pick and choose. So you can't regret that. I will say probably my biggest regret is that Jim Kellner and I, you know, as I said, we used to go out to Microsoft all the time. And we always had a camera with us. And the one thing that we wanted to do was get a picture of ourselves with Bill Gates. I mean, Bill changed the world. He's a college dropout that built the biggest, you know, the most valuable company in the world at the time. And so
And so,
I desperately wanted to give my father a picture of me and Bill Gates. it would have been his most prized possession. So in reality, my biggest regret is that I never got a picture with Bill Gates.
That's good. How about, what are you most proud of in your career, Doug?
I think I'm most proud of being a member of a incredible team of employees at Applied Systems. Mm-hmm. You know, people that thought about company and customer first and self second. Very few people ever get to work on a team like that. And I got to work on a team like that for many decades. You know, if you take a look at, you know, starting with Jim Kellner and going right through that executive team that was there forever, very few people ever get to experience that. And so I think I'm most proud to be a member of that team.
Yeah. Okay. Just finally, what would you say to a young person considering a role in the insurance industry or even insurance technology?
The first thing I'd say is something that I've said for many, many years now, and it's the old saying that our industry is littered with the carcasses of people that misunderstood its complexity. So in other words, don't walk in and think we're all a bunch of rubes and our technology is bad and old and antiquated. This is one of the most wonderfully complex businesses in the world. It's a great business, and it's complex for a reason. We have regulatory, we have state regulation, we have all, you know, we have multi-company distribution within individual sales offices. This is complex, but it's a great business. So don't underestimate the complexity. And the other thing is seek out the knowledge, you know, understand how the transactions work. Get involved in things like Big I and Reagan Consulting's best practices. Learn about the business. Just don't assume that you know everything on day one. And, you know, if you do that and continue to learn for 30 or 40 years, you're going to have a great time.
Well, Doug, I'm glad we had a chance to catch up. I want to wish you all the best in the next adventure. I'm sure it'll include some triathlons and some crazy distance running and swimming and biking.
It definitely will.
And maybe a little bit more downtime around the lake, lakes, rivers, you know, bodies of water. I'm sure you'll find a way to have some fun. And again, it's been great to go to those meetings and have those laughs with you over the years.
Well, Peter, thank you. And you've been a great friend over the years. And, I always remember the very first time we met, and you and I have had a lot of laughs together.
Yeah. Hopefully more to come in the future, just in a different context.
I'm retired, I'm taking up fly fishing. So you and I might meet on a stream someday.
That'd be awesome. I'd love that. Thanks, Doug. Thanks for being with us too.
Okay. Thanks, Peter.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.